Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you when you think you're about to give up gas. Just read your Bible, it'll tell you what to do. Be not weary, in doing well, for in due season you're gonna reap. Yeah. Say, be not weary.
Good morning, my name is Gray Bunn, and I am 11 years old. You're listening to Free on the Inside, my papa, Diggy Joe Lewis.
Well, hello, welcome once again to our weekly internet program. I'm your host, Brother Joe Lewis, and you're listening to Free on the Inside, an internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you could be in Christ Jesus. Each and every week we bring ministries to the forefront that's making a difference in the life of the men and women since the encounter. And I'm very pleased that this ministry is making a difference here in Dallas, Texas. This ministry is Dallas Life Foundation. We have a spiritual life director on the line this morning, and we're going to bring him on to encourage you that what you are doing is making a difference, how you're interacting in the life of people that's changing their lives. But without any further delay, we're going to bring on Reverend Gene, and he's going to share with you what they're doing down at Dallas Life. Good morning, Reverend Gene.
Good morning, Brother Joel. Brother Joel Lewis, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. God bless you. Thank you for being on the program this morning. I'm excited
about
what
y'all are doing. Thank you for the
invitation. Yes, sir. And, you know, Dallas Life Foundation is making a difference in the lives of men and women. I've seen it firsthand. I've experienced it firsthand. So will you please shine some light on it, on what y'all are doing in your spiritual life courses?
Yeah. Yes, and that'd be my privilege to speak. Again, thank you, brother, for the kind invitation to join you here on this program. And I can tell you all, God is doing a powerful work down at Dallas Life. We just see lives being changed down there every week. People that I've talked to that have come in that just had no light in their eyes. They were just wrestling with various problems that, you know, caused them to be out on the street, and they came into Dallas Life and they found Christ there. As far as our spiritual life programs there for the residents, we have chapel services there every morning, and they go from 8 o'clock till 8:45. That's Monday through Friday. And then we also have evening service at 6 o'clock, and at 6 in the evening till 7 on Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday. We have the main service there on Sunday mornings at 10:30. We have prayer meetings and encourage the residents to come and join us. And our attendance for the prayer meetings continues to grow as people come and share from their hearts with God, giving Him praise, praying for their needs, praying for the needs of other residents there, thanking Him for what they've done in their lives and in the lives of their friends. We have a talent show down there, encourage the residents to come for an evening of, it's fun. They come and they sing, and they may have a musical instrument they'll play. They may come and share favorite poems that they have found in the book or written. They may come and just read their favorite Bible scriptures. But everyone has a great time at the talent show. We do that every month. We have Bible study down there on Sunday mornings and Monday afternoon. Also, we've got a New Life program that the residents take advantage of. The New Life program, as the people go through it, there's a number of classes that they can attend here on how to find a job, how to manage their money, problems with addiction and so forth, and how to deal with that. There are also Bible study classes in with it, how to write a resume, how to go and interview for a job. We also have, of course, counselors there at Dallas Life. I myself help the people as they come and want to sit and talk about problems that they have, or trying to understand the scripture verses that they're studying. So it's a blessing to sit and help. There's also counseling, a group of counselors that are there to meet with the residents as they want to come and to sit with the counselors. They can receive that help. We have graduation down at Dallas Life for those that complete the program, and that's twice a year that there's a graduation ceremony with cap and gown, and the mentors that have helped the residents through their stay at Dallas Life, they're there to come and say a few words. We sing hymns. We've got a word from the Bible for the residents. They receive their diplomas, and there's a graduation dinner. And it's a great time of fellowship, and you just see the smiles on the residents' faces that they've come, and that when they first came in, they were having a very great challenge in their lives, and now that they've made it through the programs and have found a job, we also have some help that comes from the city with helping the residents to find housing as they graduate there from Dallas Life. And, you know, for volunteers, there's a number of volunteers. I mentioned the counselors. There's a number of counselors that come and volunteer their time. We also have a number of ministers from churches all around the area that come and to share God's word with the folks. As I mentioned, our services there, with 5 morning chapel services per week, plus the 3 evening and the 1 main service. I do the main service on Sunday, but some of the others during the week. But we have ministers coming from Baptist churches and Presbyterian churches, just all around the area that come, that have a heart, a servant's heart, to share God's word with the people there. And it's just a blessing, brother, to be a part of this great ministry that God is doing. It's His ministry, and it's all about God and saving souls. And it's just such a privilege to be able to go and to help and talk with the people. And I myself, since I've been there, the Lord led me to Dallas Life. It's just been a year ago. And to sit and talk with people when they come in and say they found Christ there, and to talk with them about their decision to accept Christ and to baptize them. We also observe in the main service on Sunday the Lord's Supper. We do that twice a month, and we also have baptisms. This past Thursday, had a homeless man from Nebraska that came for baptism on Thursday night, and it's just such a blessing to see, you know, as God has touched their lives and drawn them ever closer to Himself, to have a small part in that work there. And I know I've met you down at Dallas Life. You came down. You were there for a service. And thank you so much for your heart to come and for your heart, brother, to provide some time here to tell people of what's going on. And there's always room for folks that want to come and volunteer, because we've got a lot of people that come, as I've already mentioned, to help with the services, with the chapel services. We also have people that come and help in the kitchen, that come and help with various needs around there for children, teaching them Bible stories and helping them. And there's just so much of a need down there for folks to come and help, and it's a blessing to come and do. As I guess the Lord said, even if you give a cup of cold water in my name, you've done it unto me. And I say, as your listeners are out there, if they're thinking, gee, I've got a little spare time, I wonder if I can help out at Dallas Life and help the residents there. And I encourage them to contact Dallas Life and to call in and say, I'd like to speak with someone about volunteering. And as the Lord leads, He'll open the doors and He'll point the direction. Just come on, make yourself available.
Amen, amen. You know, as you were sharing that there, I was getting a sense of the men and women that are being empowered to the Word of God. Because as I see you down there on the Sunday mornings, how you're getting ready to do your morning worship, and I know that they come in and their spirit may be a little low, but I know after the service, I have no doubt that they've been uplifted. And my hat goes off to you and the men and women that help you out with this great task here, because it makes a difference, Reverend Gene. It makes a difference.
It does, and you know what? I'll tell you what is just touches a person's heart is to offer an invitation and see someone to come up from their seat and come forward and say, I've waited all my life to make this decision, And just today, I just feel like what I heard about Jesus Christ, what I've heard about the gospel, I just now have realized it's all true. And that the way I've been living my life, the problems I've had, it's time I need to make a change. I need to accept Christ. I need to let Him be the Lord of my life and lead me going forward, because I've realized that the things I've been doing that seemed right to me have just not got me where I should be. And to pray with them there to receive Christ, boy, brother, there's nothing greater in the world than to have such an opportunity to meet and that's going to say a young person. Sometimes there are young people there that come forward, sometimes middle-aged, and sometimes seniors that come forward to accept Christ. And it is a special blessing to see the Holy Spirit working in someone's life right there before your eyes. Amen.
Oh, that's yes. Powerful. And, you know, the word is no respect to person for the young or old. But this morning we have on the line here, we have Reverend Gene from Dallas Life Foundation. He's a spiritual life director, and he's sharing with us some of the courses and some things that's going on down at Dallas Life and the spiritual life section of it. And he was sharing with us the importance it is to give back, to be a volunteer in the lives of ministries similar to Dallas Life Foundation, and how it too makes a difference. Reverend Gene, we have a couple of callers on the line, and we're going to bring them on in a few minutes. Maybe they might want to ask you a question. Just give you words of encouragement.
Okay.
But before that, I'd just like to tell you, what keeps you doing what you're doing? Because, I've been in ministry. Sometimes it gets frustrating. Sometimes it gets hard, but I keep going. So what keeps you going? What keeps you going on Sundays and the Wednesdays and the given days that you have to bring forth the gospel?
I'll tell you, brother, it's the calling in my heart to serve in ministry. And I myself am a graduate of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. God led me there. I became an ordained minister over at Hillcrest Baptist Church in Cedar Hill. And at the time, I didn't know where the Lord was going to lead me at this stage in my life. And He led me to Dallas Life. And it is a privilege in my heart to serve the wonderful people there, to share God's Word, to do whatever I can to help them as they're reading through their Bibles. They have a question. What does this mean? I'm not sure. I don't understand. And to sit and to talk with them about that. To people that are coming forward, as I've mentioned, that look like they're just searching for direction. And how can I find that? And to share with them about what God says in His Holy Word, to follow Him, and that He will lead you. And for these people that come for baptism, it's such a wonderful thing to be able to baptize someone into the kingdom of God. It is a privilege. I'll tell you, brother, I go down there 7 days a week. I mean, I stay down there as long as I can, and my door is always open. People come by and want to talk. If I'm working on a sermon message or something, I'll just wait, sit, and let's talk. And God be praised. To Him be the glory, brother.
Amen. Hey, you know what? You're right about that, because each time I come down there, there's a lot of stuff always going on. And you always would take time out and say, hey, Brother Lewis. And, you know, and so you're so right. And I think that, you know, that's a very important thing, to be approachable through the Word of God. You know, the Word of God could do more than what we can do. You know, someone could feel assured and safe that if they had a problem or had a concern, they can come to you. And sometimes they just want to smile. And so,
yes,
you know, that's a
blessing.
Just
a smile and a handshake. Yes, yeah. Just a smile and a handshake. It just means a lot, you know, or a little joke along the way just to have a chuckle. It just, all of that, just blessings, yes.
Yes, that's it. That is. And, you know, that speaks volumes, because I've been in that environment before. Let me tell you, sometimes they can give you a look to say, wow, man, you know, God, I need you now. But, Rev, thank you very much. I tell you what, we got a couple of callers on the line. Maybe they just want to say hello to you. And callers,
okay.
If you call into the show, you have two prompts. One to just listen to the program, or one to join in the conversation. So we're going to see if you want to just listen, or you want to just join the conversation. We have our first caller up this morning.
All right.
Good morning, you're on the net. Good morning, you're on the net. Okay, that caller that just wants to listen in, I tell you what, we're going to bring in another one right here.
Okay.
Good morning, caller. You on the net? Good morning, caller. Hey, amen.
Sure.
So we just got a couple of callers that just wants to listen in, so that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Listen, we got another one coming in here. Let's see. Good morning, caller. You on the net?
Oh yes. How you doing? My name is Eric. I was one of my deacons from the church, Deacon Richard. He referred me to y'all, and just by hearing what's going on, I'm really touched by this, Reverend. Because what you do, it is a blessing, and it is just a joy. For me, being a young man, I'm only 23 years old, and giving my life to Christ back in 2010.
Amen.
It's been a crazy but a great journey.
Amen. God bless him.
Yes. We have a Reverend Glenn Gene on the line here. He's from Dallas Life Foundation. Would you just like to give him words of encouragement? Let him know that he is making a difference in the life of people like yours and mine.
Yes, sir. The deacon that referred me to this, it was this past Sunday. My pastor, he's an apostle, my apostle in my church. He was talking, he was preaching, and he used me as an example was a story, and it touched him, and he referred me to call in to y'all and also talk to y'all. And it's since 2010, since I gave my life to Christ, because before then, when I was into the world, I thought everything was all about me. Everything was just this. I thought I was the man, all this and this, all that and that. And going, getting the football scholarship, going out to play football, and me not putting God first, not realizing that, that God can't take you to the top. And once he takes you to the top, he'll bring you all the way back down. And once he did bring me down and show me who he was, I realized, wow, that everything is not about me. It's about God. And once I did get my life back to Christ back in 2010, that whole fall, I didn't end up going to school because due to some issues, due to some transcript issue that my junior college didn't release my transcript. And once they did release my transcript by September, school had done already started. So I was forced to go in the spring of 2011. I said to Midwestern State. But while going over there, when I left going over there, I thought I was strong, but I was a baby in Christ. Going there, backslid it a little bit. No, I backslid it. Sometime went back in, I ended up finding myself smoking again. I ended up finding myself being with females again. I ended up finding myself the fire that I had in Christ leaving away. And then throughout the end of that spring, coaches telling me I may not be eligible to play due to a lot of transfer, my grades didn't transfer. And once that happened, it kind of discouraged me a little bit. And I said, you know what, F everything, forget it, I'm going to just do what it is that I wanted to do. So that fall of 2011, I just went to school, nothing happened, and I was just getting discouraged thinking that, you know, next year I'm going to do it again, I'm going to play. But the spring of 2012 came, stuff ended up happening again, and I didn't end up getting to play. And I was just like, wow, what's going on? So that, and the crazy thing is that was the last time I ended up going to school. And that fall of 2012, I ended up staying home, not realizing what it is that God is really trying to do for me in my life. And throughout all this time that I stayed home, the fall of 2012 and the spring of 2013, God was just working with me, just like spiritually I grew, mentally I grew, physically I grew. We started working in the church. I got back, because that's the time where I started helping out. I started playing the drums. So as I started playing the drums for my church and stuff, going out, winning souls, ministering to people, and it just, during all that time, I just didn't even care. Like, you know what, God, let your perfect will be done or whatever, because I got tired of doing what I needed to do, and it was just time for me to do the will of God, what he wanted me to do. And throughout this whole time, I got a job substituting in a school district, and by me substituting in school, I thank God for that opportunity, because he led a lot of kids to me in my direction, ministered to a lot of kids. So, matter of fact, most kids end up giving their life to Christ in the classroom while I was
wonderful.
God bless you, brother. That's a powerful testimony there. That's a powerful testimony.
Yes.
And we're glad to see that God is really using you. And we're going to keep you in our prayers, okay? Because I tell you what, I want you to call me again offline here, because we want to talk, and I'm going to have you to be a special guest on another program that we're going to have geared up, okay? And again, tell me your name.
Eric Cabello.
Eric. Yeah, and I know the young man that referred you to me. Eric, thank you for calling in, brother. I got your number written down
here.
And I'm going to give you a call, man, because I definitely like your spirit that God has embedded
yes,
in
sir.
You. So keep doing what you're doing.
Yes, sir.
And sit
Thank
back
you so
and listen
much.
To the program, Hero, because you're going
yes,
to be blessed
yes,
by
sir.
What you're hearing here. We have another young guest.
Yes,
we have another
sir.
Guest coming up after this one here. He's involved in the jail and prison ministry over
yes,
at Hutchinson
sir.
Jail.
Yes,
he's going to come on and he's going to share with us some things for a reentry program. So maybe you can share with your friends and family that there is a career, there is a future after being incarcerated.
Yes, sir.
All right, so just
thank
hold
you
on.
So much.
Reverend Glenn, thank you for allowing that young man to share his testimony.
Yes, that was wonderful. Amen. God bless him. We'll have Eric on my prayer list as well, brother.
Yes, yes. And we have another call that's going to come on, and we'll just let them chime in. Then we'll just let you wrap up our remainder of the show.
Okay, brother.
Good morning. You on the net?
Hey, Diggalo, it's all right.
Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, D?
I'm doing fine, brother. How about you?
I just missed that call. That was a guy, Eric, I referred you to.
Yeah. He had a great testimony. We're gonna bring him back on. He was just. This is the young man that referred the our caller to us, Reverend Glenn.
Yes.
Okay.
Then that was a powerful testimony that Eric had there.
Yeah. I'd like to. Talk about, you say you run a Dallas Life Foundation?
Yes.
What seems to be the status of this foundation right now? Is it going in the positive direction, or are there some kind of, you know, are there any federal funds or anything like that you lacking in that you need?
Yeah, Dallas Life, God has his hand on it, brother. It is going forward. You know, Dallas Life has been there for, I think, you're into the 60th year, or soon will be the 60th year. I think that's coming up this next year. And it operates on the kindness of others, donations, monetary donations, prayer donations. They bring things, food, they'll bring clothing, a number of things, volunteer services. But Dallas Life Homeless Shelter has been there, as I say, close to 60 years, and God has ordained it to be healthy, to be continuing to go forward, and to ministering to the people that he brings through its doors.
Man, that's amazing. You said 60 years?
I believe it's coming up on 60 years. I think so.
That's really amazing for something to go on that long like that, you know.
Praise God, yes, because that's strictly operating with the donations. As God moves in hearts of people to donate, this is what keeps, you know, the funding for the electric to be on and insurance and the water bill, all these things God provides.
Amen.
Take care of his own. Yes.
Okay.
Brother Will.
Go ahead, Carl.
I'm sorry, is the caller still there?
Yeah.
Yes,
he
is.
Okay.
Well, why I'm going to ask the question, because I used to live in an apartment that it had a lot of people staying in it. They were getting kind of half-price rent and probably half-price utility bills. And the people really, you know, when you take your hands off of them and try to let them go out into society and not have, you know, just don't have, just stand over and watch them, they seem to not be able to adjust by having this freedom by moving on themselves, you know. And it doesn't seem to work out for them because, you know, when you're down there, you can watch them. You have to make them take vows. You have to make them do this, make them do that. But it seems like it has to come to a point that a person has to realize, you know, I can't go no further. I need God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God standing over with a switch. My grandma used to call it a switch. You stand over with a switch and you have to spank them all the time to make them behave.
Well, I know, brother, at Dallas Life, God is doing, as I've mentioned earlier here, a powerful work there. His word goes out to the residents there every day. Those that have been working in the or coming through the New Phase program, as they get up into phase four, they're encouraged to find church homes. There are programs down there at Dallas Life to help the residents to overcome addictions, to find a job, how to prepare a resume, some job leads to help them to find gainful employment, how to manage their money, and of course, most importantly, how to stay in God's Word, to stay close to Him as He moves ever closer to them, so that they have His guidance, His light in their lives going forward. People that come through Dallas Life, from what I've seen, they receive a great deal of both spiritual and physical help in the needs that they come there with. And as I mentioned, the graduations occur twice a year. And since I've been at Dallas Life, I've seen so many that have graduated there. They have smiles on their faces. They receive a new Bible. They've got their graduation certificate that they've completed the programs down there at Dallas Life. They've got jobs. Most have already found housing, or they're in process of finding a place to call their own. And a lot of that help comes through the city of Dallas for those that graduate the program down there at Dallas Life that complete and apply themselves. And then we just pray for them as they go forward out into the world that they continue to be successful and to stay close to God, to follow His lead, because He'll lead them through all the stumbling blocks out there. So we keep them in prayer every day.
Amen. 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 Carla, hold on here, because we got ready to wrap up this segment. You ain't ever the great question that I presented to Reverend Glenn. But Reverend Glenn, I want to thank you for being a guest on the program. I want to thank you for shedding the light up on ministries like this, like Dallas Life Foundation, and what you're doing, and how it makes a difference in the life of men and women. Sometimes, you know, as I bring forth the show, sometimes people get a misconception of these type of environments here, but I know it makes a difference. I went through that program, and it changed my life, and there's many, many more lives that it didn't change. And sometimes we only see the people that fell through the cracks, you know. But then we know without a shadow of a doubt that it does make some difference. And thank you for allowing us to hear that from you being firsthand on the line there, you know, in this battle here to restore the lives of our men and women.
But amen. And brother,
go ahead.
And brother, I just want to say thank you so much for your kind invitation to come and to be on your program and to be able to say a few words about what God is doing down at Dallas Life. You know, we talk about everything that we're doing as a ministry, and it's all God's ministry. It's His word. It's His leading. And He is out trying to draw all to Himself that none should be lost. And I mentioned volunteering at Dallas Life, but I didn't give at that time a phone number. If anyone was interested to contact Dallas Life, the main telephone number is 214-421-1380. And I would like to just say in closing again, thank you, brother. I ask the people that are listening to pray for the residents at Dallas Life, to pray for the staff that's there, to pray for the volunteers that are there, for all the things that God is bringing together to help the people. And I'm reminded of a scripture verse here in 1 Corinthians where it says, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Amen.
Amen.
And thank you
amen.
Again for allowing me to be with you.
Now, before you let you go, now, Dallas Life have an opportunity for people to give a tour of the place. Can they still get that information on the number that you gave out?
Just call that main number, and as that's for the main reception there, and just tell the lady that answers where their heart leads, that they would like to come for a tour, they would like to come to volunteer. They're calling in to find out what is the current need, that they can be in prayer for that. There's the number. Just pick up the phone. We're just a phone call away.
God bless you. God bless y'all. What a great interview. And we're looking forward to having you to be a guest on our show at a later date. And again, God bless you. You have a great day in the Lord.
And God bless you and your program. Thank you. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Oh, what a great interview that we had with Reverend Gene down at Dallas Life. He's the spiritual life director down there. He gave us quite an insight on it. We had some great questions that were presented to our guests this morning here to let them know that God is still able. Amen. Amen. We're going to go on with the program here. We got another guest coming up here. Before we go on, we're going to bring Brother Richard on. Brother Daniel.
Hey, how you doing, D?
Oh, man, doing great, man. That was a great question that you had asked, man, and thank you for supporting the show and the young man that's called in. We're going to get him back on. But we have another guest.
Yeah, make sure you call him, man. He has a dramatic testimony he has because he comes from the Congo, man. And, you know what happened over there with all those that genocide they had over there. And he was part of it. And I want him to be able to tell some of his story, how he came up from over there. And he moved up, he went to college, he played football, but he gave up sports and all for the ministry because he figured God could use him to help his people and rather than him helping himself.
Amen, amen. But we got another guest that's coming in a few minutes, so we got a call on line. We're going to bring them in right quick. Good morning, you on the net. Good morning, you on the net. Amen. That caller that just wants to listen. From. We're going to call our next guest up right quick here. You're going to be very impressed with this young man here. And as we're calling him up, you may hear the phone ringing right now. You too can join the conversation. That's 310-982-4126.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Frank. You're on the net.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for being a guest on our weekly internet program. Frank, you're no stranger to this program. You've been here before, but I like to stay in touch with you because you always got some new information that you was willing and can share with our listening audience. Please introduce yourself and your ministry and tell us what you're up to in Jesus' name.
My name is Frank Dernbauer, and I have a ministry called FSH, Prison Ministries. And F is for forgiveness, S is for salvation, and H is for Holy Spirit. And this is primarily a reentry prison ministry. And under the umbrella, we have about 8 separate ministries that are run by individuals, and they vary. One is what I call missing person ministry. We are servicing right now at the Hutchinson State Jail, close to. It's about 180 men right now. That's going to be close to 240 by the end of this year. We've had about 900 requests for information. This is one of our ministries, and in there is what we call a missing person, where we get a lot of requests from men to track down people and family members primarily that they have just not been in contact with for years or never have been in a recent case where a man was looking for his biological mother. We've had this quite often, actually. So that's one of the ministries. They go out and they do searches through all the different search sites out there for people. And we've had quite a bit of success in connecting people. And that's really, it's a real blessing. We have another ministry that we're actually put in a library in the Hutchinson State Jail for the faith-based dorm. This is all for the faith-based dorm. We started with about 200 books in January this year. And about a year ago, and we have close to 1,000 books now in there. They're all Christian books. It's purely a Christian library, and the men get into that every week, pulling out books. They're always feeding new ones in there. So those are a couple examples of the ministries that we do. Myself personally, I do all the exit interviews. I meet with each of the men for about an hour. And I've done about 180 of these every 12 months. So I'm wrote this number I'm doing there, and it's basically helping the men get prepared when they go back into society. There's a checklist that we work on. We found that there are about 4 things that are critical for them not coming back. One is going to a church regularly. We have a ministry that helps them find a church anywhere, a local church anywhere in the United States, wherever they go back and start their lives over again. We also focus on the need for them to, of course, get a job. Very, very important. We help them do that. And we also have kits for community and we call this county and community resources. We have close to 22 of those kits. So depending on what city and what county they land in when they get out, We have a resource kit for them that they can go into and tap into resources in terms of food, clothing, shelter, you know, all things like that that are you know, provided. We also really emphasize volunteer work. We discovered about 8 months ago when we did a survey that out of the 180 men that I interviewed with, maybe five or six did really real serious volunteer work before they came into Hutchinson State Jail. So we have a real push on educating them on the value of doing volunteer work. And finally, we are also working with the men on mentorship, finding a mentor. And what we have discovered is that the best way of finding a mentor is going to the church that they are going to, and they will be going to develop a relationship with the pastor and tap into the knowledge base that the pastor has regarding the congregation there, who would have the heart and be willing to mentor a man coming out of jail. So those are the four things that we push very hard in the interview that I take place. And if the men do well in all those areas, they're not going to come back. And the last thing we do, and the most important, is the Holy Spirit, because that is what's going to make the difference, in my opinion, about men coming back or not, is their relationship with the Holy Spirit. They have a good, strong, personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, and keep working on that. They're going to harness the most power there is on earth to help them in their quest. So that's kind of a nutshell. I haven't covered all of them, but that's kind of a highlight of what we are doing with regards to this particular ministry that is growing. And we are always looking at doing new things based on the needs of the men coming in that we've recently, I think, have got a real need coming up for men to get automobiles that they can afford. So in the last 6 weeks, I've come across a surge of people, men getting out, not having a car and needing a car. So we're going to try to see if we can develop another ministry in that area. We'll see how that goes. That's it, Joe. That's all from you.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Now, Frank, I was in touch with you a few weeks ago regarding I had a friend that was attempting to get a job reentry, and you sent him a package. Would you share with us what that package consists of and how that package can make a difference in the life of men that are really seeking to get back in the mainstream of society?
Yeah, we call that the survival kit. And every person that leaves gets this survival kit. And it has different categories of information in there. It has spiritual information. It has motivational information. All together, there's close to, gee, I think 25 separate, 30 articles in there, all together, almost 100 pages. So it's a pretty thick packet. And in there, too, are job leads, where to go, what sites to go to, the Texas Workforce Commission, for example, websites that we encourage the men to look at. Some of them, believe it or not, actually will publish jobs for felons. We found that some of the websites go into, just type in the word felon instead of the particular job you're looking for, and it'll pop out different type of job postings that people would be interested. You have to read the print real close. So that's pretty much what that packet is. And like I said, we do call it survival kit. So when they leave, when they get out of my interview, they have the survival kit. That's growing. You know, we're adding things to that all the time. And they also get the community and the county and community resource kit for resources they need. So every person gets the survival kit. We've actually given out about 180 of those over the last 12 months, and we've been close to probably 160 community and county resource kits, because just about everybody needs some help when they get out in some area.
Yeah, you're so right. Now, just the other day, we were talking about job listing for people that are incarcerated or ex-offenders, how you're able to distinguish those jobs from regular jobs, and they too can apply a job feeling free that people already know that they're an ex-offender. Could you talk more on that?
Yeah, there's actually, this has been sort of a discovery process for us with the help of the Holy Spirit. We have over 300 leads that we give the men when they walk out. It's a hard copy. It's not on really on the computer. And these are job leads we've acquired over the last 12 months. Now, we are, that's one thing that we do. Now, we caution the men there that these leads, a lot of these jobs already have been taken, but that's a resource knowing what companies have been hiring and what they've been looking for. And like I said, we have discovered just recently websites where you actually put in the word felony, you'll be able to get jobs that people are looking for. They will hire felons under certain circumstances, which they do list there. But the really exciting thing and the power of the Holy Spirit is this story. About 2 months ago, I was praying in the car for help in terms of how to get jobs for the men there. That would be jobs that we know the company do hire felons. And, you know, within 5 minutes, I got a response. It's just amazing how the Holy Spirit really works. And the light bulb went on, and it was basically, Frank, you've been interviewing 250 men already since January of 2012. Go back into those people, those men that have left here. Go back, survey them, find out where they've been working, who hired them, how they got in. And that's what we're working on in about a month. We're going to start that once we get all the approvals to go in as a mentor to make these calls into the ex-offenders that have all left. And that's going to be a very, very helpful resource, probably the best that we have in providing opportunities for men at companies that we know they actually do hire offenders. That's been a breakthrough.
That's powerful. Yes, that is. And Frank, as I've been talking with you, I had the opportunity to see your library. Matter of fact, I even got a book out of there because I left my Bible at home. So yeah, I'm very impressed with the library that you're spoken. I know that it is growing because God is in the midst of everything. And Frank, as you go through this here, tell us some things on how you know that it's, without a shadow of doubt through the Holy Spirit, that what you're doing makes a difference. Because sometimes we feel like that we're just spinning our wheels. And that's what we want our listening audience to know, that what you're doing makes a difference. Sometimes we may not ever see but a glimpse of it, but it does make a difference.
Oh, yeah. The blessing of volunteer work, and I tell the men of giving, is that you receive so much, you have an idea. You know, you're not looking for it, but it's going to come. And I'll give you a couple examples. The other ministry we have, and I didn't talk about, as we said, we have a new ministry called the Birthday Card Ministry. We've never done this before. I've always wanted to do it, but just haven't had the cycle. So we have a volunteer lady come up, and she asked me whether she can send birthday cards to the men, and I said, absolutely. You know, I kissed her almost. And the men come up to me, and I had this one guy was pretty tall, really about 6 foot guy, and he looked at me one day, and I came in there. I come in there every Thursday working on my interviews. I'm always in the dorms, in and out, and this one guy came up to me, and he almost had tears in his eyes, and he said, Frank, he said, I want to thank you for the birthday card that you had sent me. You know, it really meant so much to me. And I said, I'm writing a letter to Jennifer. And I said, oh, please go do that. She'd love to hear that. She's got 3 or 4 of those. I've gone by the bits and I've seen those birthday cards. They've stuck in the pillow next to their bed frame, real close to them. I've talked to another man last Thursday, and he told me that he got a birthday card. It was the only one he got all year round. So that's some indications that we know that these ministries are touching these men's heart. I had a man come up to me and he says, Frank, the research you did for me, the address that you gave me for looking for my biological mother, he gave me 4 or 5 different names, spellings, you know exactly, and we tracked them all down, and he showed me a letter he got from his mom, biological mom, that praise God, God is good. He gives us blessings we don't deserve, grace, but there nevertheless it is. And he showed me that letter, and I wish I could read that letter to the audience here. It was, I think it was the most beautiful love letter I've ever heard in my, read in my life, other than Jesus Christ, and the Beatitudes. That's impact, that we have. And I'm going to make this bottom line. When I meet with the men, the very last thing I say is when you walk out of here, gotta walk the walk, because that's the only thing that counts. Now, you've been talking about the walk in here, but when you leave here, you gotta walk the walk. And I've got to tell you, I've talked to your families, and they're all praying for you. This faith-based storm is praying for you. So you go out, you walk the walk, and other people will see you, how you've changed. and you're going to bring some people to Christ just by how you've changed your life. So go out there and do it. Walk the walk.
Oh, that's so true. Hey, Frank, we got a call on the line here. We're going to bring them in just a word. They may even have a question regarding your program. Amen. Good morning, caller. You're on the net.
All right. Hello.
Yes, good
Hello.
Morning. We're talking with Frank. Yes, sir. We're on the line here.
Yeah, how you doing?
Pretty good.
How can a person go about signing up for your program?
Well, right now the program is really primarily for men in Hutchins State Jail, for the men that are there, that are in the faith-based dorm. But I'd be happy to work with Joe and see what we can do in getting these materials outside of that, you know, separately. But I'd have to have you work with Joe. Joe, in turn, is going to contact me, and then we can probably help do that, too.
Okay, what if you know somebody that needs some help?
Now, just understand, my ministry has 10 active people in it. We service, like I said, you know, we service right now 240 men. It's going to be, it's 180 men right now. It's going to be 240 men. I'm in prison Thursdays almost all day. I put close to 2 days a week plus running two other businesses. So my ability, plus I'm mentoring a man right now that's just been released. So my cycles are pretty much gone as far as being able to do any help one-on-one or dialoguing. The only thing I can really do is provide information, through Joe to people. These packets, this information are pretty powerful. They're pretty much self-directed. In other words, you don't need people necessarily telling you what to do. It's pretty much self-directing. We try to make it that way.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Does that make sense? Does that make sense, Joe, with you?
Yes, it does. It does. And I know that they work, Sarah. And that's a great need for what you're doing here, Frank, because as the men get out and the women, sometimes they feel like they're being overwhelmed. It's nothing really consolidated into one particular area. You're going here and there, and they feel like they're on a treadmill.
Right.
Thank you for what you're doing. You're centralizing all the information and making it
as well. Yes. That's a good point, Joe, because even with the thing with shelters and things like that, these information kits that we have, we identify where the shelters are in a particular city or county people move into. And so that's exactly what we're doing. We are focusing and concentrating all this information. I will tell you this, brother, that I've been in prison ministry for 7 years. The first five years, I was doing spiritual development in the prisons, running four classes a week in two different state jails. But I was called to move into the reentry because I discovered in my personal ministry, talking with the people out there that I was ministering to, that a lot of them were going back into the society and they had no idea what to do. They were totally clueless. And so we believe that we're giving the men direction. We're giving them some structure. We're giving them resources. Now, they got to do the work. We can't do the work for them, but we're giving them a framework to work and a direction to go, and through the Holy Spirit, you know, faith that they're going to make it.
Oh, that is so true. Frank, we're about ready to wrap up this portion of our program. We want to thank you again for being a guest and keeping us up to date on what's going on. And we're going to continue to tap in on the wealth of information you have to share with our men that they do have a future and they do have a hope and God have a plan for them. And their plan is to be obedient, steadfast, and unmovable, waiting on God, but also working with God.
Amen, Joe. Just develop that personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's the most powerful thing you can do in your life, spiritually and everything else. That's the answer, folks. That's the answer, the Holy Spirit. Develop a close personal relationship with Him.
Again, Frank, what's the name of your ministry team?
The ministry is FSH Prison Ministries. And the F is for forgiveness. Very important part of prison ministry. Number two is salvation. That's the S. And H is the Holy Spirit. That's the anchor of this ministry, those three things.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Hey, we have another call on the line. Maybe they might want to ask you something. They just want to listen in. We're going to get them an opportunity. We'll
sure.
bring them right on right now. Good morning, caller. You on the net?
Hello?
Yes, good morning, caller.
You
on the net? Yes,
hello?
I'm doing great. Yes, I'm here.
All right, how are you? This
I'm
is
doing
Beverly
great.
Beasley.
Who am I? Oh, Miss Beasley, good morning.
Yeah, I was listening to that gentleman about the prison ministries. I'm so impressed with what he's doing. I had just two questions. Statistics say that a lot of men are going into prison because of their dropouts. What does his ministry do to help men further their education, or some of them complete their education?
Well, in the Hutchins State Jail in a faith-based dorm, there is a program there. It's not under my ministry. There's another ministry there for that men to get a GED. So they have an opportunity to get their high school degree. And I will tell you this. The statistics I have been given is that the average grade level of the men in prison across the board is about seventh grade. But I will tell you, in my ministry, I have found people who are college graduates, people that have served in the military, Marines, Navy. I have found men that have not graduated from high school yet. But in most cases, the men that have gone through the faith-based dorm have either a GED or have graduated. There are very few, I'd say probably maybe 20% at the most, that have not do not have a high school degree.
Okay, okay. That's good news. The other question I had about, I like your program. I like everything I heard about it. It's really good. It's time for us to help these men when they get out, because some of them, when they get out of prison, they seem so lost. Once they get out, do they have a resource where they can talk to somebody if they have issues? Do you have a resource where they can come back and just touch base with somebody if they've got questions when they get out of prison?
Well, in the reentry ministry, I've always given them my phone number. I mean, they know where they locate me. I'm affiliated with Wiley United Methodist Church in Wiley, Texas, and that's where my ministry is basically supported. That's where all my volunteers come out of. So when the men leave, they get an address of how they can reach me. And so, I get a call occasionally, and I'm happy to help them. But the interesting thing is I don't get a lot of calls. You know, that's probably good news.
That means
equipping them, you know, a lot for that. But I will get an occasional call, but it's not like every other day or every week. It's maybe a couple a month I'll get for calls, and it's just more informative, you know, information. I will tell you another thing that I do in the ministry. The other thing I really do with the men is I really push a lot of emphasis on relationships with their children. That is where I spend all my time, not so much with the spouse or the other family members, but with their children. What kind of relationship do they have with their children? And I really push hard for them to understand that they have to really develop or reignite a relationship with their kids, because the biggest gift men can give their children when they leave this earth is that their dad loved them unconditionally, and that's more important than anything else.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. I just want to thank you for what you're doing for the men in the prisons. And if Granny's Place, we could do anything. Brother Joel is one of our board of directors. If we can do anything to help your ministry, please let us know. We'll be praying for you and standing behind you. So thank you for what you're doing. And may God bless you.
Yeah, I will tell you this. There is a clear calling that we had the last month to develop a automobile ministry. So if you can work through Joe and let me know any ideas you have, well, we got to go do that, because I've just seen too many men that are leaving here that don't have a car. I have one that's going to Paris, and they don't have a car and a family. His wife works. She's got to go back and forth on a taxi, and with the God's help, Holy Spirit, we got to fix that. We got to fix that issue. So this is the next thing we're jumping on. It's going to take probably a village for us to figure out a way to do this, but in time, we will. There's nothing else. There's never been a need that we have not been able to fulfill so far, and this one we're going to take care of, too.
Well, we'll give the information to Joel, and Joel and I'll see what we can do and see if we can contact some other people to see what we can come up with, because there are a lot of places that will donate it, but we just have to get out there and get to Astor.
Amen. And I know I've talked to the men leaving. Some of them are mechanics. You know, they can always check out the cars, too, to say, Frank, yeah, this car looks like it's going to be okay. We can give away. So we have, they're all there. We got to pull them together. You know what I mean? They're there. The answer's
yeah.
there. We just got to pull it all together.
Wow. Yeah,
so
bless you, bless
Frank,
you.
Before you go, tell us how do you stress the need of these men once they've been restored to give back, to reach back in and get someone else that they went through the same similar circumstances that they have? I think it's important for men to be able to give back.
Oh my gosh, it is crucial. In the packet that we give out, the survival kit, there's two articles why volunteer work is so important to you, both spiritually and emotionally and mentally. Very, very compelling articles. And, you know, I tell the men basically, you know, you can be two kinds of people. You can be a person that stays home, read the Bible, and pray every day, and that's certainly being righteous. You can be the other person that does the same thing, but you go out and you help others. Who is going to lead the most joyful life? The latter,
yes.
The one who's out giving. And the other thing is that if you want to accelerate your walk to Christ, you're getting closer to Christ, go out there and help others. You're going to get there a lot faster.
Oh, that's so true. Well, Frank, it's been a great interview. Beverly, thank you. Thank you very much for calling and asking those questions that need to be asked. You know, amen?
Well, thank you.
And as we get ready to wind down this program, again, Frank, we want to thank you. Frank, you're no stranger to our program. We always like to call you. I see you a couple of times at Hutchinson, so I know you're very committed about what you're doing. So keep doing what you're doing.
Hey, Joe, I love you. You're my brother. You know that. I love the gang. We all get together out there, going out, doing our thing in the jail. You know, you're my brothers. I love you guys.
God bless you. God be the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What a great interview that we had, Mr. Frank. Amen. He was giving us some insight on his ministry, the FSH prison ministry over at Hutchinson State Jail here, and his ministry is making a difference. We want to thank our very special colleague, Beverly yeah. Beasley. Beverly! Beverly Beasley. Beverly Beasley, you still there? Hey, amen. Well, she's not there anymore. Mr. Daniel.
Yeah, how you doing, Dick? I got a poem for you today.
Okay, good. Yeah, go ahead with your poem. Tell us the title of your poem, and we got a few minutes before the show comes to an end here. So go ahead and get us.
Okay, it's poem today. And this is in memory of my dad, and he may rest in peace, who I love and miss dearly. It's poem by Lee Henry. It's called My Dad. If I could write a story, it would be the greatest ever told of a loving and kind loving father who had a heart of gold. If I could write a million pages but still be unable to say just how much I love and miss him every single day. I will remember all he taught me. I'm hurt, but it won't be sad, because he'll send me down the answer. He'll always be my dad. Amen. That's a wonderful poem. Yeah. He'll always be my dad.
Hey, man, what a great poem that we had of Brother Dan. Brother Dan, we're getting ready to get out of here in 90 seconds. Thank you once again. We pray that you enjoyed our guest this morning. We thank you for the guest that you referred to us. And we're going to call him offline and get a little bit more of his story. We're going to bring him back in, okay?
Yeah, get in touch with Brother Eric, man, because I had promised him that he wanted to be a guest on the show. And when you hear his testimony, he says, man, you'd be very, very, very amazed that he still has all his faculty. Because
amen. That sounds good there, brother. And thank you. Thank you for what you're doing, man. We have another great time next week here. We're going across the lake here next week, man. We got a very exciting guest. And I'm excited about this young man. He's coming out of Kenya, South Africa. He's going to share with us what God is doing on the other side of the world. And guess what? God is no respected person. What he does for one, he'll do for another. So I'm excited about that, man. And Ricky, keep doing what you're doing, man. And God gets the glory. You know, it gets frustrating. It gets uncomfortable sometimes. But guess what? This is God's business, man.
Yeah, yeah.
you know, I've been out hunting all week for guests, and, you know, it's kind of, you know, I tell you a promise, and you look around, you try to schedule them for a time to come on, and, you know, God just let it flow, you know. God's got the time schedule, you know.
He does. Man, we're about ready to get out of here, though, Brother Daniel, man. We're going to have a word of prayer, and we're going to be dismissed from this city. And I tell you what, we're going to talk again offline. Thank you. Amen.
All right.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of you. We thank you for your grace and your mercy with surpassed understanding. We thank you for this day that was not promised to. The Lord, we thank you for the guests that came on this morning and the future guests which you're going to allow to share their story on this program, and their story can make a difference. The Lord, we thank you for the young man that had a boldness, the Lord, to proclaim that he served a living and risen Savior, how the devil thought he had him, but he got away. We want to hear more from that young man. We thank you for the guest who came on from Dallas Life Foundation, Rev. Gene, on how he's making a difference in the Spiritual Life program. And thank you for Frank, dear Lord, that working very hard and dealing it over to Hutchinson Jail, how he put together packages of help, called survival kits for the men that's getting out, dear Lord, so they too can know that you hadn't forgot about them. And we thank you, dear Lord. We pray that we continue to be within your will and in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray these things. Amen.
Amen.